Blog Talk Radio. Tanya?
Yes, I'm here.
Yes. Go ahead, sweetie. You're live and on the air.
Oh, I didn't hear you introduce me. Oh, I'm like, I'm awake in here. And we finally are no time for coffee. So thanks, everybody, for joining us on Marty Oakley, the legendary, wonderful Marty Oakley, a founder and warrior of exposing many kinds of corruption in our government and in the judicial system, and providing this platform for TNT Tanya Talk, where your voice is heard and your story is told. So thank you again for joining us. My first disclosure is I am not an attorney. Therefore, I do not and cannot give any advice. I give opinion. We discuss different matters, interpretations of things. We're well aware of certain laws and, you know, the color of law in our country and what that means. But I am here as an advocate and as a whistleblower because I am working for the victims of the system. And I am blowing the whistle on the system when it's not working right. So I'm an advocate for you, for me, and we all need to stand together. And this is particularly about injustice in Oklahoma exposed. And I am beside myself with this matter tonight, and I am with anything that I'm bringing to the surface. But you know what? There's just so much each agency that I am aware of in Oklahoma is saturated with some kind of corruption going on. And it does not mean that everybody that works for the government or within that courthouse or within that particular agency or within that police station is corrupt. But if you're there long enough, I'm sorry, but we know you're turning your head the other way. We know that you need to support your family and that you want to survive. And I say that because survival can mean more than one thing here, okay? What's been brought to my attention and to many is just out of this world. And we know that Oklahoma isn't the only state that's dealing with it, but we're providing a template and a forum to expose, reform, and get on with our lives as we're supposed to have the basic civil and human rights that are supposed to be afforded to us, truly available to us, not just in writing, not just supposedly, not just the ones that are out there supposedly making sure that justice is served. You walk into a courtroom, and the first thing you see is access to justice. Well, darn it, in some cases, and in many cases, you know something, it's good, it's true, it really is. The system does work in some places. In some courthouses, the government works in some places, in some state houses. But you know something? Far too often, it doesn't. And in Oklahoma, What I have learned personally, and this is not about me, but this is why I'm here, because it was, oh, woe is me for a while. But what I have learned, what I keep learning, I mean, we could go 24/7 on this show, and the jaws would be at the bottom of the ocean based on what I'm not only being told, but what I am seeing that is supporting the allegations that are being made for the most part. There are some that want to jump on the bandwagon. I can see through it because I don't see it because they don't get back to me, okay? So I'm not falling for it, all right? But what I do know is what I see. And tonight, who I'm introducing you to is a lovely woman who has a family and a family trust that her hardworking parents had set up to make sure that this family would forever be okay, that they'd forever be fine. A trust worth millions and millions of dollars. This is not the first time that I've heard about these instances, by the way, but it's the first time somebody was ready to come out and talk on this show because they were afraid they were going to compromise what's going to happen in their cases or what they're planning on having happen. Wake up, Oklahoma. So to get back on topic, this woman has been denied her millions of trust because it got in the hands of downright dirty, filthy, thieving people that are qualified, supposedly, to make themselves have the right over every last dollar and design and redesign a trust through manipulation to have their greedy hands on the money that is supposed to be there for family members going forward and for their children. And for their children to have a legacy. But when certain trust companies get involved and certain lawyers and trustees get involved in these particular cases that I'm speaking of, they go away. And then the even worse part of it is when it goes into the court, when it's being challenged. And the court does not support the reality and what exactly the spirit of a trust was put for, was put in place for. Gee, it wasn't for the trustee. It wasn't for trustee fees and lawyer fees to defend corruption as you're trying to unwind the corruption in court so that you can actually have your trust back. So we've got a major problem going on, and some names are going to be named tonight, but Mary is here with us tonight. Mary Jage is blowing the whistle, and she has court tomorrow morning. Because she has stood up for herself and her portion of the trust, which this is all boiled down to something else, but you'll find out about that. And she might wind up actually in jail tomorrow. And the bottom line isn't because of anything other than those greedy heisters want to have the money, and somehow they feel that they have legally found a way to capture the money and not give it to who her parents really wanted it to go to. That is really the bottom line. So if we're talking about interpretation of the law, we really need to look much farther into why on earth some and many of these judges are not these heisters. I have my own ideas. I know some of them wind up living in beautiful homes that belonged to the trusts once and that they purchased at half the price through these back roads, name-changing sales that go on. You don't have us fooled out there. We're watching with you. We know who many of you are, and we are here to expose you. That being said, I'd like to introduce Mary Jage. How did I do, Mary?
You did really well. Maybe very well, very well.
Okay. So, Mary, before we get into your story even further, I want you to announce to the listeners where court is tomorrow morning. And Oklahoma, we need you to listen. We need your ears and eyes and anybody who can just show up and sit on Mary's tomorrow will tell you what it's all about. But Mary, where is your court appearance and at what time tomorrow morning?
It's in Bristow, Oklahoma at 10 a.m.
Okay.
And there's only one courtroom, so it's 10 a.m. tomorrow morning in Bristow, which is
Bristow.
35 minutes. It's 35 minutes west of Tulsa.
35 minutes west of Tulsa. This is in Bristow, B-R-I-S-T-O-W, Oklahoma, everybody, okay? At 10, did you say 10?
10 a.m.
At 10 a.m., the only courtroom in that court. Now, the odd thing is, this case originated in Tulsa, Oklahoma. There seems to be some forum shopping going on because there was some kind of a conflict with a judge. But darn it, you know something? I've spent quite a bit of time in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I happen to know there's a whole bunch of judges in Tulsa. And I'm not saying I'd rather see you in Tulsa. That's for sure. But somehow I'm very suspicious of why this wound up in Bristow. Let's kind of go back. We'll do the Tarantino style. We'll go back and we're going to tell a little bit about how this whole thing began. And then we'll get back to why you're in court tomorrow. Okay?
Okay.
So your parents invested in land.
Oh, yes.
Okay, let's start there.
Okay. My parents had nothing when they got married. They lived in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And back in the 50s and 60s, whenever they made some money, they invested it in raw land. And they ended up buying quite a bit of land in the 50s and 60s when it was just farmland. And what happened was Tulsa grew that direction, and it was worth many millions many years later because they bought so many acres, 100, 400, you know, something like that. But it was very cheap in the 50s and 60s, and now it's worth a lot of money. So
they took a risk. They had some foresight. They were living the American dream. It went in the right direction for them.
Correct.
Okay.
My parents have both passed away. They have this trust where the trustee convinced my mother to resign. I think there might have been some medication given to her.
When that took place?
How old was my mother? She was 80.
When she was convinced to resign, and when you say convinced, you know, what was said to her that led her to believe that that was the right thing to do, and who was it that she trusted enough to do this with?
It was my cousin, her nephew, who was an attorney and a CPA, and after my father died, he came to my mother and kept telling her she should redo her trust because he could save her taxes. So
now, did he ever talk, have this conversation with your father and mother that you know of prior to his passing?
No, no. My father mm-hmm. did not trust this family. So
okay, can I say the name, or do you want to say the name, or what do you think about that?
Well, I can tell you the attorney's name. My cousin, his name is Ron Saffa.
Ronald Saffa. J. Saffa. S-A-F-F-A. Ronald
yes.
J. Saffa. And I've looked him up, and in Tulsa alone, he's been involved, and in trust cases alone, he's been involved in quite a few trust cases. You know something? When these people are finally caught and they're brought to justice, there are going to be so many others that are going to stand up and say, what have I got to lose? Because I've already lost it all. You know,
it wasn't even that he just convinced her. He, in order to have this accomplished, he took a document to her, and her signature is so erratic. I know she wasn't in her right mind. You can barely read her signature, and I think some medication might have been given to her, because immediately after, they tried to take her to court to say that she was incompetent and she could not change anything now. So,
uh-huh. That's
basically they relied on, how do I say, they were trying to get her declared incompetent so she couldn't reverse her decision. She was fine, they said, to resign, but then when she wanted to fire them again, they said she's incompetent.
Okay. So it sounds to me as though they have a little checklist that they go by in these cases where there is the wrong spirit, you know, this is not what these trusts are meant to fulfill, you know, and what Ron Saffa, and we'll name others, are involved in here are not really to live out the wishes of the trust makers. It seems as though they're very self-serving situations. So they wait for somebody to die, okay, and then they come to the vulnerable woman. Because let's face it, men die first, women live longer, okay? That is the overall statistic. And the women are typically more submissive in the marriage and in the relationship, and relied on the man to make the bigger decision. This is just how it was, and maybe it's not so much the way it is now, but this is typically how, you know, it has been in history in these times, okay? And so now your mother is left at the mercy of this man who your father didn't trust, but she's vulnerable, and so she signs off on something, and then when she wants to change it, she's deemed incompetent, so now she can't do it anymore.
But the problem is she had an attorney, and they went to court, and the judge asked her all these questions, and he said, I find that you're capable of making your own decision. I don't think you're incapacitated. And she went
okay.
back with her attorney and fired Ron Saffa, and the other trustee is the Trust Company of Oklahoma. And they refused to give up their control. And they kept filing more motion after motion after motion. And I didn't have the money. I'm sorry?
And ultimately they won.
Ultimately they did win, and they're still in control, and they're still punishing me for trying to expose what they've done.
Right, right. And what was the trust worth at the time that it was put into place, if you want to disclose that?
Well, at the time that they became trustees, it estimated between 30 to 40 million.
30 to 40 million. I guess that was worth them fighting for, wouldn't you say?
Apparently so, because they paid themselves over $5 million just in attorney fees.
And have they ever provided an itemized valid statement to major beneficiaries?
No, I keep asking, and they just say the trust, the way that my cousin Ron Saffer wrote it up, allows him to hire attorneys and pay them from the trust assets.
But they don't owe the major beneficiaries in the trust, and I understand that you're not necessarily considered a major beneficiary anymore because they did that to you, but, you know, I believe if there was a legitimate court that was working for the best interest of the trust, that you would still be a major beneficiary. So they're saying that you don't have the right to see an itemized statement of the expenditures of the trust.
Right. And the irony is their major attorney, the one that does most everything for them, wrote an article in 2013 for the Oklahoma Bar Journal saying that trustees should not be allowed to put language in a trust document where they have unlimited access to trust funds to pay for their attorney fees. And this is the very person who has taken the most money from the trust. It's so ironic that he would write this article, yet he does not adhere to it himself.
Right. So what do you think his excuse is?
Because that's what the trust document says, and your mother signed it. Well, my mother signed it under duress, and if you looked at her signature when she signed it, and if you compare it to the day she was in court, not medicated, where the judge said that she had a right to make her own decisions, you would see that there was definitely some outside influence when she was pressured to resign. And even when she fired them after they were declared her competent, they resisted because all they could see was money for years and years and years. And that's what's happened. They've made themselves rich while not giving the beneficiaries the benefit.
And so can I ask you, the judge that initially said, no, your mother is in fact competent.
Mm-hmm.
When this was finally turned around in favor of the corrupt Saffron and his attorney, and I can't wait for you or me to say his name, but let's just go here first. Was it the same judge that reversed it, or did it go to the appeals court?
You know, Tanya, I'm not going to even say that right now.
Okay.
I have a hearing tomorrow morning.
That's fine. So, no, please, you have every right to rein yourself in because of what you're dealing with tomorrow morning. It's a pretty scary place to be. And, in fact, that's why we're here right now, is because of this hearing. So we'll get to that.
Can I say something? If there are any people in Oklahoma listening that are between the ages of 40 and 60 or whatever, they would remember my parents had two clubs, and they were popular like swim clubs. And my parents had a club named the Harvard Club and the Cup Club. And if anybody listening was a member and was on that swim team, I mean, I need people to show up tomorrow so that I see support and that the judge sees that this is not just going to be hidden in some little small courtroom, you know, east of Oklahoma.
Okay. So we're going to repeat that. So your parents were good contributing members of the community, and they
knew
a lot of people.
My parents worked 7 days a week when I was growing up. We worked there too. All the kids worked there, so it was a family business, and they made some wise choice in investing in raw land, and they were just very lucky that Tulsa grew up that way.
Mhm. Mhm.
But I know that this was not their intention for the attorneys and the trustees to get rich, and her children actually are, you know,
well, essentially,
not doing well financially.
Themselves as beneficiaries through the language in the trust, it sounds like. Because they've, you, like you said, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. And can you explain that?
Sure. That means if I bring any litigation against them, I'm actually paying their attorney fees because of the language that Mr. Saffa put in the trust. And if I sit there and don't do anything, they will never give me anything. So I can either sit there and do nothing and I'll get nothing, or I can try to bring this out in the open. But when I do, I'm going to get punished because they hire expensive lawyers. And then in turn, they take it out of any interest that I have in the trust or the partnership. So basically, I'm paying for litigation against myself.
Isn't there language also that if you challenge them in any sense, basically they can cut you out of the
trust?
That's
what they did. That's what they
did. Okay. Can you explain the language that they used and why that, according to the law, and what you went to court for was to have that reversed because it's actually not legal?
Well, that particular thing happened in October of 2006. What I'm dealing, and this has been going on since 2000, so we're dealing when they tried to declare my mother incompetent. That was 18 years ago. She died in 2003. But what we're dealing with tomorrow is I filed a motion a year ago, January, to ask the court to make them give me my share. It's a very small percentage, but it's still a considerable amount because of the value. It's only 6%, but 6% of a lot of money is still considerable. And mm-hmm. because I filed that motion, they filed a motion to hold me in contempt of court because they said that I wasn't allowed to file any motion for something that had previously been litigated. But I keep telling the judge this has not been litigated. But tomorrow he's going to make the decision whether I'm guilty of indirect contempt, and the fine is $500 and up to 6 months in jail, or whether I'm not guilty.
Right. And this has already been heard. It's a matter of getting the decision.
Right. We've already had
right.
the hearing. Tomorrow is the decision.
So just to clarify to the listeners, and please interrupt me, interject, or tell me you can say this better, okay, is it's my understanding, okay, that Mary had an attorney at one point who has since deceased, and she was trying to change the language because it was exculpatory.
Exculpatory.
Exculpatory, and which basically holds the attorney harmless of any wrongdoing, and that's just not the way that it's supposed to happen. And so there was a motion that went into the court, but Mary wasn't aware of this motion. And am I on the right track here?
Right. She filed a motion. I did not know about it. And then they filed a motion to push me out of the trust. And I told her to remove whatever language there was that they're claiming challenged the trust. And that attorney said that we had to hold our ground, that it, the only language she used in there was the day that my mother was declared competent, so we, I couldn't lose by just reiterating what my mother had said. But we
right.
had the
and
hearing.
Right, so the Rosenbaum language was so important, though, was because the attorney had inserted the language that you couldn't challenge the trust, right? Otherwise, you wouldn't be privy to it anymore. Is that right?
Not totally. She said that
okay.
my mother was declared competent when she fired those trustees, and they should not still be in their position. And they challenged that it's already been decided that they are the trustees, and because she wrote that they shouldn't be trustees, that they had been fired. Then they said that because I reiterated what my mother said, I lose my interest in her trust.
Right. So, but, and I'm looking at this page on your transcript right now. It says, yes, I was not attacking the trust. I was attacking the way the trustee is handling the trust insofar
right.
that he's not following the trust instruments as they appear. Is
right.
that right? It's
correct.
Not the validity of the trust. It's how it's being handled.
Right. But the judge came back and said, I think you're challenging the validity, and so now you're out of both of your mother's trust.
And
I was just shocked.
But there were motions that were filed that you weren't aware of, and the attorney that brought this in front of the court at the time has since deceased, and she was, am I correct?
Yes, and she was disbarred for what she did.
There are more people that are disbarred for standing up against corruption. It's just unbelievable. So her name was Godlove. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yes, Joan Godlove.
Joan Godlove. And from the research that I've done on her and from those others that have known her well, she was one heck of a warrior and stood up to the corruption and was absolutely overwhelmed by all of the corruption and put herself and her well-being last. It's my understanding her death was a suspicious death as well, but that's as far as I can go with that.
Yeah, I don't want to go there. I don't know anything about that.
Right. Right. And that's right. You didn't say that to me. Nope. This is, and this is what happens is things start coming out and the same names start, showing up. They start coming out and it's like, oh, wow. Well, I've got a story on this person over there. I've got a story on this one over there. And this is a good one. And he or she was standing up against the corruption and they were suppressed. Their family was threatened or something really off the wall happened. And suddenly they've stepped back because they're 6 feet under or because they needed to survive and support their family, allegedly. Okay. I'll be whatever. But like I said, I've got my metal jacket on tonight because I am so livid about what is going on and there just seems to be no stopping it. Unless we do what we're doing right now. I'll speak on my behalf of what I know, but as far as what Mary is saying, she didn't say that. That's me. She didn't bring that to my attention. I'm just saying these names are all becoming very familiar. I'm hearing them more and more and more. And so now the trust is in the hands of
the Trust Company of Oklahoma
company.
And Ron Saffa.
Right. And so They're claiming that you should have known about these motions because she was your attorney. Now, I'm looking at all these prongs that have to do with, you know, the indirect contempt that you're charged of. And, you know, it's supposed to be beyond a reason. You know, there should be no doubt beyond a reasonable doubt that you should have known that certain motions were filed and this and that and the other thing. Well, I would say if you have a deceased attorney, that there would be a reasonable doubt that you actually were notified of some of these motions
that were taking place. Absolutely, you know, proves that, well, I don't know if it absolutely, but it takes my stand is that Ms. Godlove did not attend hearings, and because of that, when they went to get their attorney fees, they got them approved. When they went to put filing restrictions in, they put all these hoops that I would have to jump through to ever go to court and file anything against them again. Just a mile-long list of things that I would have to do. And when I filed that motion to get my small percentage, I didn't even know that she had filed this lawsuit and these restrictions were in place. But even after I was made aware of it, I asked the court and I asked the opposing attorney to allow me to amend my petition. And the court ignored my
request.
Motion to do that. Yeah, and they also, the attorney that I asked, do I have your permission to file this? He goes, no, we oppose it. So they were purposely opposing my being able to modify this motion because they wanted to go ahead and get an indirect contempt charge later and be able to charge more fees. I mean, this
right. and
attorney, his name is, I'd like to give you his name.
Do
if
it.
You'd like. His name is James Milton with the law firm of Hall Estel in Tulsa.
James
I have reached
C.
Him.
Milton, listeners,
mm-hmm.
James C. Milton. I'm going to interrupt you for a second because let me tell you, this is not his first corrupt rodeo. He is into trust left and right. He's digging into your money, people. He's representing other banks and trust companies that will go along with this or that will be shoved into a corner and forced to shut up. This is James C. Milton, the man who, in the face of the public, is so well known, is so well respected, is, you know, has been in business. He's on these water committees and whatnot. Oh, my word. James C. Milton. We're coming after you. James C. Milton. I know of other trusts that have been challenged. I'm not going to lead them to you. But y'all know how to look things up, don't you? Start looking. Because the judges, the attorney general, you know, people aren't doing anything about this. But there's more of us than there are of these kinds of guys. And he's a big kahuna. He's a big kahuna. So why bother going, you know, starting at the bottom of the little peon pile, these people that are used as your scapegoats, okay, go to the top. We know who they are, and he's one of them. Okay, go ahead.
So tomorrow's a big day. I'm just very worried about tomorrow because I don't live here. I live in Illinois, but I drove 700 miles. I was here in November. I've been down here four times already in 2017. Now I'm coming back. I don't have the money to hire an attorney, so I'm pro se, meaning I represent myself. to the best of my ability.
Seem to it that you don't have the money.
Right. They don't want me to have money to be able to hire a lawyer to fight them. So they don't give me my share of the money. And so I have to do it my own self. And then they hire expensive lawyers to represent them. And then they charge my share of the trust. I mean, it's crazy. It's just
crazy. It's how is this okay, you guys? So everybody who's listening, I want you to think, geez, there are two sides to a story, to the story. You know, show up, see what's really going on. Look it up online. By the way, Mary, I noticed that last document that you sent to me, it's not available online. They're hiding that, but I did get what you sent to me. So it's pretty amazing how, you know, these court documents, some will show up in a TIFF or a PDF, and then there's those legendary documents that they hide from the general public. They don't want you to see them. Why is that? Why do you think
I filed a motion to respond to something of theirs, and I put a six exhibits in there that are very powerful. They have now filed a motion to strike. They want that taken out of the record. And so if anybody knows what to do, you go to your computer and type OSCN, Oscar Sugar Charlie Nancy .net. And then the next thing you'll see is court records. You click on Tulsa. And then you put this case number in and you can see it. It's CJ, stands for Criminal Justice, 2011-2181.
And you have to
CJ,
put in a dash after CJ.
Yes, you
CJ
do. CJ-2011-2181. And it's kind of a long file, but you just go down to the bottom, and you will see the SIR reply. It's called a SIR reply filed on January 29th. Just look for January 29 of 18. And if you read that, that just really sums it up. You don't even have to read all the stuff above it.
It sure does. It sure does. And they actually have asked the judge to put you in jail.
Right, for filing a motion
to put you in jail
for my share. Yeah. And I'm scared. I really, it's so ludicrous that I would just file a motion with the court, asking the court to make a decision, and then I get threatened with jail time because I'm asking for a decision from the court.
Right. Right. And that's how ludicrous it's gotten. The access to justice is twisted. It is all twisted by the corrupt attorneys, not the good guys. There's some good guys out there, and I hope there's one that's going to show up there for you tomorrow if he can, just to be, you know, present and hear what's going on. But we need you guys, anybody who can be in that courtroom to sit on her side. We're going to announce the results of tomorrow. I pray to God that it is in your favor. That, you know, we were going to give out some phone numbers tonight to call, and or actually on Sunday night we were, but we had technical difficulties, and to call and to make some noise, but the decision was made before we actually were going to go on air, that it would be best to see, you know, how things
the
go.
Results,
and
how it comes out.
Right, see how it comes out, because you're not saying anything negative against the judge. You're hoping that the judge can see the spirit of the law, the intention of the trust, and that all of the prongs have not been met beyond a reasonable doubt. I mean, I've looked through the complaint, and I've looked through their reason why they say that you need to be fined and penalized, put in jail. I mean, how malicious is that? I mean, do you mind telling us your age or approximate age?
66.
Okay. A 66-year-old woman, have you ever been in trouble with the law before?
No.
It comes from an upstanding family that, you know, her parents came, they worked their fingers to the bone. It was a family that contributed, that worked and provided a community service and reaped the benefits, the rewards of the risks that they took, and a well-respected family. From Tulsa, Oklahoma, many of you have touched that dirt, okay? That you've touched that dirt, that you've been there, that you know what a joy it is to be able to come together as a community and reap the benefits of something that was being provided. You know, of course, it was a service. There was a fee, unless I'm wrong. But it was something that people enjoyed. They're good people. And here is Mary. And she's facing jail time tomorrow because it boils down to the greed of the attorneys, of the trust companies, that they revised the language. And because Mary and her attorney at the time stood up to have that language changed, because it is not within the confines of the law. What they did is that they basically said that, you know, we are above the law. We can do whatever we want, and you have to pay for the fees if you don't like it. That's what they said.
That's exactly right. It's so ludicrous.
It's a heist. It is theft. And just because they can write their names and their degrees and their affiliations after it does not make it okay. These are people that are supposed to be more
a fiduciary.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It makes you afraid to turn over your world, your life savings to people, to bring it forward to the ones that you love the most in the way that it was meant to be. And that's just it. Would your parents agree with this? Would your parents
not
think that was okay?
And I would like to tell anybody not to invest if they're thinking of making the trust company of Oklahoma to oversee their estate after they're gone. They will wine and dine you, and then after you're gone, they will twist things. They actually took my father's trust. It was an irrevocable trust because he had died. They took my father's trust and they went to court and they redid it. And it's completely illegal.
But it was irrevocable.
An irrevocable trust. He was gone. They were able to do that.
Oh, my word.
That's another situation. I don't want to get into it, but I just want
right.
to warn people,
need to know
not to use this
between
company.
Revocable and irrevocable. And unfortunately, you know, you can't just go and sit and talk with one person. You really need to talk to a lot of people before you settle down, because the trust can be a great thing. They're supposed to be a great thing. But if you don't fully know your attorney, the CPA, the trustees, if they just tell you to basically sign, if they are not allowing you to bring in others to pay attention to this, if they're coming to you in a vulnerable situation, they're up to no good. They're up to no good. You have to err on the side of caution. Do you want to be like Mary, facing jail time tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock at 6 years old? And for what? This is why I'm mad, and I'm afraid for you, but I'm going to stand by you, and we're not going to go anywhere. We're going to stand by you, and we need to know what happens.
Well, if I'm able to call, if you don't hear from me, somebody else will call you, but
yeah.
If I'm able to, I will.
Okay. So How did you leave things at home? You know, are you...
At home, you
are
mean
you...
in Chicago?
Yeah.
Oh, my kids are back there. They're worried, you know, what's going to happen to Mom. But that'll be my first phone call, or maybe my second. I better get an attorney, I think, tomorrow, or they'll appoint one for me, or I don't know what the procedure will be. But I haven't been able to work full-time because of all this. And it's taken its toll financially, and they don't want to give me money so that I can't get good representation. That's the bottom line. They take it, and they don't give it to the children of the deceased.
And if anybody out there can actually think that that is the design of the trust, and the intent of the trust, when Mom and Dad put it together. Just imagine if this happened to you. I mean, a lot of people might be saying, geez, I wish I had that problem. You know what I mean? Well, no, you don't. No, because
I don't have anything.
Because here you are. Here you are. And it didn't keep you from working. It didn't keep you from being fruitful. It didn't keep you from being, you know, an active mother and a member of society. You weren't one of these people that, you know, were on the silver spoon path and you were smart. You knew that money was coming to you, or so you thought, but you still continued to work.
Yeah, and it's divided. It's not all to me. It was supposed to be to three of us. But
right. The
trustees have pushed my brother out. They pushed me out. And the only person that gets everything is my one sister, Patricia Hastings of Tulsa. And the reason that she gets it is because she went along with our cousin, Ron Saffa, in order to, because if we wanted to change trustees, and he told her that he would give her more because if she refused to go along with us. And I have a person who's written an affidavit, a close friend of my sister's, that testified that, yeah. And that's what you will see when you go online under CJ-2011-2181. The first exhibit is Exhibit 1, and it exposes my sister, Patricia Hastings.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's sad. It's sad that this is what it comes down to. Here, this is your sister. And I know that your brother has had some, and this is from what I've been told from other reliable sources, not from Mary, okay, that your brother has had some... he's basically been he tried to expose, and as a result, he's been put in some very dangerous situations, and that's all I'll say. I don't want to go too far with this. There's a big mess going on here in Oklahoma. I'd like to say this is an isolated situation, but it's not. This is just a woman who is being strong and standing up against the corruption, and right now has nothing to lose. She doesn't get anything anyways, according to them. She's facing jail time tomorrow, you guys. She's facing jail time for saying, no, you can't steal my share of the trust. And no, this is not the way it's supposed to be. And no, this language should be, according to the law, reversed. But here they go, and they're spending hundreds of thousands of dollars hiring other attorneys to represent them and stonewalling you because of the language that they inserted into the trust with your vulnerable mother seemingly under medication at the time. And they beat you down. They bullied. And why is this okay, everybody? This is not okay. So this is not an isolated circumstance. We're going to share this podcast. We're going to update the listeners. We're going to ask for support wherever is needed. And keep in mind, I mean, Mary's here right now. She's not just standing up for herself. Of course she's scared. She just told everybody, do not go to the Oklahoma Trust Company. And why? So guess what? Anybody who's about ready to set up a trust, I bet you they'll think twice before they go to an Oklahoma Trust Company. I bet you they will think twice before they seek out the esteemed James C. Milton to represent their best interests. I bet they will think twice before they enlist Ronald Safran. Ronald, right?
Ronald, yes.
Ronald Safa to represent their best interests. Because if he's willing to do that to his own family, think he's willing to do now. And this is like clockwork, you guys. This is systematic. They're so used to it now, and everybody's got each other's backs, because if they don't, then this one will expose that one and that one and that one. So you know what? Once you're in that corrupt game, you're in that corrupt game. You know, there's no such thing as being a little bit pregnant. You're either corrupt or you're not. You're either pregnant or you're not. You're either willing to sell your soul to the devil or not. You're willing to hurt people's lives or you're not. You're willing to stand up for the good of the law and the spirit of what a trust is meant to be for those that put it in place, or you're not. Well, I'll tell you what. The Oklahoma Trust Company is not. James C. Milton is not. Ronald Safa is not. And there are et al. That are involved in this. So,
Tanya, I just want to say it's called the Trust Company of Oklahoma. That's their official name.
The Trust Company of Oklahoma. Okay.
Right,
so
right.
Before we close out, because we've only got a minute or two, I can't believe it. Oh, my goodness. Mary, can you tell everybody where you want them to show up tomorrow?
Bristow, Oklahoma. The courthouse. It's an easy Google. It's only a town of 4,000 people.
Okay.
At 10 a.m.
Okay. All right. Bristow, Oklahoma. Bristow, Oklahoma. That's where we need you to show up. If you're anywhere within that vicinity, or if you know anybody that's in that vicinity, we really want you to show up. And then just sit on Mary's side. Just
watch. You don't say anything. Just listen.
Listen to what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Mary is going unrepresented because she can't afford an attorney, even though there's supposed to be millions of dollars set aside for her. She can't afford an attorney because the greedy trustees have blocked her ability to be able to afford an attorney. They have just put this little barrier around themselves, protecting themselves from no matter what they do. But that's not the way the law is supposed to work. So this is not an isolated circumstance. Like I've said, there's a lot of this going on, whether they're small trusts, they're big trusts. When they see money, the ones that are corrupt, you know what? Conversations have been heard where people sit down at a table in a diner about ready to go before the judge, and they say, oh, I feel sorry for that poor bastard. But he wasn't poor before he was going in. But they knew they were going to make him poor coming out because that person had assets. So we're all vulnerable out there, okay? This is how Oklahoma is navigating right now. And not everybody in the government in the judicial system, in the law enforcement system, is navigating that way. But if you are on the wrong side, if you're standing up against corrupt individuals, and I know that is just such a harsh statement to make, but guess what? I have no problem making it. I call out RICO when I see it. That's what's going on in Oklahoma. It's a pattern. It's not a mistake. If it was a mistake, the mistakes would be corrected. It's time to call out the corrupt individuals in Oklahoma and those that are supposed to oversee and overrule. That's all there is to it. There should be no more Marys going to defend themselves, to try to stay out of jail at 66 years old because she is in a position, she's damned if she does, she's damned if she doesn't, except if she does, she could wind up in jail for 6 months. How nuts is that? How nuts is that? Does this woman deserve this? Because she's standing up against some corrupt individuals, against a corrupt trust company, and that's what it is. That's what it is. I mean, you don't see all the documents. You guys that are listening, comb through them together, whatever's available. Whatever isn't available online, oh boy, try to think why it's not available. Try to think why they're not showing that